Welcome to the Sports Reverence Podcast. My name is Dan. I am joined with my co-host, my big brother, the coach who's coached around the globe. His name is Joel Chandran, and we are here to share a little bit about sports, talk a little recap of the NFL, talk a little baseball and basketball, and most importantly, talk a little bit about the sports culture and a little bit about the good news and all that, what that means, which is why we love Jesus and how that all intertwines together. So hope you can stick around for this whole podcast and share it to everyone. And Coach, why don't you just tell us what's going down first?
All right. Spoke of the two-time Torontonian. Toronto's the center of the world, apparently. We got quick hitters coming up. A little bit of the NFL, what happened last week, what's coming up. Some of the games we're interested in up in the coming week. We are going to be pushing you guys in the real talk section, getting up off the bench. It's really easy to be on the sidelines, but we need to get you into the game. After we have that, we'll briefly talk about basketball because Coach Drew's not here, and so we can have a conversation about it. And talk about the Jays and see where they can go. So let's get rolling here with our quick hitters, Dan.
Yes, and yeah, shout out to our white sports reverends. Drew Martin can't be with us today. You know, he's got four kids. Give him a break. All right, quick hitters, here we go. Baltimore and Atlanta clinch the number one seed in the MLB playoffs. It's started. It's already on its way.
Yeah. Hey, I love it. Playoff time. Aaron Rodgers is trying to come back, but before the end of the year.
Toronto Blue Jays lose the first game of their wild card series. Face elimination, this the next one.
And not a great start. And talking about another great start, Manchester United dropped 0-2 in the Champions League in pool play.
Meh. Lastly, Georgia Bulldogs topped the AP Top 25 in college football rankings. Before we go anywhere else, let me handle some business. We have our sponsorships that we like to look at, and one of them we like to highlight is Urban Hope. Urban Hope is the mentorship program I actually get to run in downtown Toronto. It's a mentorship program for kids and youth in the St. Lawrence and Canary surrounding high-rise areas, and basically we provide a safe place, mentorship skills, opportunities for work and help with their studies for all the kids and youth in the neighborhood. And what we do is we have different programs throughout the week. We offer different sports programs and weekly drop-in programs. And the goal is to give these students some skill sets and a safe place where they can go and build friendships and give these students opportunities to grow and succeed in life and succeed and most importantly in a relationship with God and how they can use that to have their life be changed forever. And we've had many different students go through our program. We currently have these amazing interns who've grown up in our Urban Hope mentorship program. We have one graduated from university, one who is still in university, and it's really amazing. They've really taken on the role of running a lot of our summer camps that we provide and some of our different youth and kids programs as well. And so they're great success stories, and they're pouring back into the neighborhood. If you would like to support in any kind of way, please check out thesportsreverends.com/sponsorships. We can put the link in the YouTube description, and you can give that way. If you're in Canada and you give over $20, you will get a tax receipt for that. And if you're able to, please help support. Help us to keep building our initiatives. We're working on a couple of cool things. One is not just a basketball team, but a basketball program, almost like a basketball academy that we want to start. To help some of these students that don't have the opportunities to play at the next level because of cost. We want to give them those opportunities. And one little secret one that's not fully out there is that we actually want to start up a school that doesn't push any agendas except for the one true gospel agenda. And that's the only one that matters that we want to support. So that's a school we want to start, inner city neighborhood, and make it affordable, available to all these kids and youth. So please support that way. All right, Coach. Sorry, went long there.
It's all right. Got to take care of business. Got to pay the bills, keep the lights on. Let's start with last week. Miami Buffalo This did not turn out the way we thought it would. What are your first couple takeaways from this?
My first couple takeaways was Josh Allen has taken a lot of heat, even in some from me, starting in week one, and now he's looking like that MVP who's cleaned up a lot of his mistakes. The defense of Buffalo, it started out, the game started out as back and forth. I think it was like 21-14 at the end of the first, and expected a high scoring game, expected a slugfest, but that Buffalo defense is absolutely real. They did have an injury to their secondary that might hurt them in the long run here, but their defense is real and they're scary. Good on Buffalo, and brought Miami kind of back to planet Earth, because everyone had elevated them to the super team that dropped 70 points on the Denver Broncos' high school defense there. So that's my thoughts. The Miami Dolphins are back to reality, and Buffalo is the team in that division.
Yeah, talking about reasserting your dominance, for sure. And I mean, Tua played well. Yeah. I think a lot of people expected Tua to be the weakest link for this team this year. And he despite losing and despite his O-line being a bit of a sieve last week, he still played really well.
Yeah.
Do you think he's turned the corner?
Or
do you think it's because he's got crazy weapons?
I think it's a mix of all the things. He does have crazy weapons. I think he is a good quarterback. My question wasn't his skill set. I just think it's his ability to stay healthy, which it's only now we're going into week five, so it's still early. Do I still have faith he'll complete a season? I don't. You see that if you get pressure on him, he's going to struggle.
Okay. Josh Allen looks really good. Hopefully he can keep that momentum.
Yep.
Definitely helped me win my fantasy this week, so thanks, Josh. Let's roll on to Cincinnati and Tennessee. Joe Burrow, has he just buried his head in the sand, or because he got his money? Like, what's going on?
He's gotten paid. He's fighting off injuries. His top receivers yelling that he's open every play. It's a lot of controversy there, and it's kind of tough because the Bengals defense isn't that bad. And they just got blown up. They got blown up. I don't know what's going on. It must be some sort of injury. Because the week before, week three, Joe Burrow looked like the normal Joe Burrow. So I don't know. Yeah. Must be injury hurting him.
Yeah. It's not good to see so much discord so early in the year, but they're in a tough division. A lot of teams are looking good there. So they got to make that turnaround really quickly. Otherwise, they're in trouble.
Yeah, not a lot of room left to play with and losing. They're going to try to make a wild card. I don't know. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for sure. And it's kind of weird to say that after 4 weeks, but this is the reality of the NFL. Every game matters. Speaking of every game matters, C.J. Stroud is making the most of his opportunities. Pittsburgh-Houston. Did not see that coming.
Absolutely. Just the Texans have found their guy. You know, some of the throws that he's made is just incredible. It's not like he's reading defenses and he's just making throws. And like it's been so smooth. Not one interception yet. Like he's had an incredible start.
Incredible
start. And he just seems so calm. Like he kind of seems like Joe Burrow in rookie year. That's what he kind of reminds me of, is that calm, able to sling it, but able to read those defenses. Like, it's very impressive. There's this one play where he's holding off Minka Fitzpatrick and just keeping him where he is, and then boom, darts it out there, and it's just, that's just like high level QB play. It's impressive. Yeah.
You don't want to put too much pressure on the kid. It's only been four games.
True.
But he's in some pretty elite company for starting off his career. So big shout out to C.J. Stroud.
And the rest of the Texans.
Hopefully he can keep it up.
Like the rest of the Texans.
The whole Texas team.
They expected nothing from
him. They were just expected to have another high draft pick and move on with life. But they're showing, you know, I think the GM's done a good job for sure. And the coaching staff has done an amazing job getting that team to believe with each other. I mean, even if they lose every game going out, they've probably won more games than anybody thought they would already.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Right? So, yeah, Pittsburgh's in trouble. So we'll talk about them shortly. 49ers. Doing what the 49ers do. Debo had a 0.6 score for my fantasy team. Yet CMC decided to toss in 4 touchdowns. Can anyone stop this team on offense? It feels like, I don't know. It's tough.
I think the most criminal thing that whole game was the 49ers calling a Brock Purdy QB sneak instead of giving McCaffrey his 5th touchdown. I'm pretty sure 5 touchdowns like ties the record for the 49ers, like Jerry Rice for most touchdowns in a game. And
Well, like, give him coach the said he touchdown. Didn't know.
Oh, come
coach
on,
said man. He didn't know.
Come on.
I don't believe it, but sets us up for a big week on Sunday Night Football, that's for sure.
I'll just say I think the 49ers are on top of the Chandran NFL hierarchy in terms of power rankings. I got them number 1 myself, and I know you probably do too.
Yeah, a little bit of hometown bias, but sorry, Dad. Giants are just not quite there. They may be 4 years from being 4 years away.
Yeah.
I spoke to your wife. She's not a big T-Swiftie fan, so she doesn't care. But for those of those T-Swift fans out there, quite happy in New Jersey with Casey pulling it out, barely. Star-studded affair. I mean, this has got to be good for the NFL, I guess.
The NFL is eating it up. They are giving before the kickoff. The name was mentioned. T Swift was mentioned. All the stars were Ryan Reynolds, his wife, Blake Lively, Hugh Jackman, some other guy, and all this crew. Wow. It's just the hype for these games. It's just incredible. I think the only person that's really annoyed by it is probably Patrick Mahomes' wife. Because she's losing some of that that fame and fortune.
She's losing the shine.
Yeah, she's not the...
And the brother.
Yeah, the brother. Yeah, we don't and even see... I don't even see that guy no more. So I think he's got muzzled for sure. But...
for sure.
Chiefs, they barely...
I'll tell you this.
Squeeze it out. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, they squeeze it out. I went to a baseball game with a non-sports fan. And they brought up Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. So... It's bizarre how far this is going. Like, she made him so popular. No. Hold on. There's millions of people who watch football every week and would know who Travis Kelce is. And he's just not so obscure, dude. Let's just chill.
There's a rumor out there that they're not actually dating. This is just pure publicity. And if you think about it...
I bet you she's probably dropping an album end of the season.
It's going to be a great breakup song. No touchdown for Kelce or something like that. Where are you at on the Swiftie scale of caring or of being a Swiftie or caring?
I don't know any Taylor Swift songs. I think she's got an album called Red, maybe. And I really don't care. That also doesn't help my dating prospects, but that's okay. I'm willing to take the L on that for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
got better things to fill my Spotify playlist with.
Yeah, like
let's put it that way.
I didn't like I'm not a. I feel like there's like two sides of the camps where there's just the haters of the Swifties and the Swifties. Mm. I don't know. Like I think I don't really care. Like I'm not a hater at any way. Like she does her thing.
I think it's good for football.
It's weird
because you know it's weird, but it's like a good thing because it's like being talked about in a different way, and it reaches more people. But am I going to be wondering what her outfit's going to be at the next game in Minnesota? No.
It just takes away focus from football, though. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, what could be a fun game though is every time her name is mentioned, you get to eat a chicken wing.
There you go.
I'd be okay with that.
Yep. No, we're eating a lot of wings.
All right.
2 pounds of wings.
We talked way too much about Taylor Swift so far. Let's talk about next week. Patsy of a game, potentially. Giants at Miami. Maybe we get Saquon coming back. Or does Miami just bounce back and dummy everybody here in this game?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Miami's at home, like 11-point favorites. I could see the Giants covering the spread. I'll give them that. Like, the Giants, if Saquon's back, I could see them covering the spread. Book it.
Book it. Okay, there's your betting tip for the week.
They're not winning.
What? How long of a leash does Daniel Jones have?
That is,
you know, because he threw that pick at the end, that pick six, and Coach D did not look very happy.
Yeah, he got chewed out pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. Like, they paid him. They paid him a lot of money.
Yeah.
So they didn't pay Saquon any money. And but then Saquon's also missed 2 out of the 4 games or whatever it is.
That's true. That's true.
I don't know.
They're in trouble. And we talked about it yesterday. They paid him too early.
Yeah.
They could have waited one more season, see how he did, and maybe they would have saved themselves some change. But, yeah, I think Miami's going to blow them out of the water.
Yeah, if you look at, like, top organizations, like, you see – like, look at San Fran. They drafted Trey Lance. They unfortunately got hurt. They tried out this Brock Purdy kid, and they ran with him. So look how great they are at moving on from their mistake of drafting Trey Lance early. And if I think these football organizations struggle with doing that because they get so locked in on their picks and they can't be wrong. But it's better to be correcting your mistake faster than holding on to your mistake. Because Daniel Jones is not going to be he's not even going to be a level of Kirk Cousins, I don't think. Like he's not going to be a trusted game manager. So I would kick him.
Yeah. I mean, it is tough because it's part of your legacy as a GM and even a coach potentially. This is a high price pick, yada, yada, yada. But as Coach Lasso said very early on, you got to have a memory like a goldfish.
That's right.
And I think the 49ers example is really good. You got to do what's best for the team, but easier said than done from us armchair quarterbacks. But what's Baltimore Pitt? This could be perfect
transition.
Really defining game.
Yeah, because I think Pittsburgh's at the same spot we're talking about. Is Pickett the guy where they roll with, where they hold on to? Is he going to be the guy, or do they decide to move on? He's showing us that they should move on from Pickett.
Yeah.
He's not playing well.
Who's?
Go ahead.
That quarterback, too, is what? Mason Rudolph? I don't think. I don't even know who their QB2 is.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up for sure. But they do have a terrible offensive line. I was telling you about some stats earlier that they haven't had a 400-yard total game in so long. The whole league, every single other team's had 4. And they haven't had one at all. And I think it's like the last 5 years. Like, that's insane. So they're stuck in their old ways. They're trying to run this quarterback. I don't know if he's a guy or not. And their O-line's terrible. So it's just, it's a mixture for failure. And Baltimore, I think, has been so injured, yet they're still figuring out ways to win. So I think Baltimore takes him.
Baltimore takes it. It is in Pittsburgh.
It's tough, though.
But... yeah, I think Lamar Jackson's got to turn some things around here.
Yeah.
And kind of shows MVP caliber to put this team on his back and make some noise. Talking about noise, Cooper Kupp is coming back potentially. We got Philly at LA. Are you taking the over or the under on this one?
I don't know what the over or the under is, but it should be.
Oh, I mean, just should be a shootout.
Should be a shootout. Like Philly, like, I don't know what's going on with their offense. Like, they don't look the same. The Commanders took them to overtime last week. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what's going on with Philly and their offense. Maybe it is the Super Bowl hangover. Maybe it is the age getting to some of the linemen. But you know, I really think LA is such a underrated team by all the pros, by all the experts. Constantly put as underdogs, and I think LA is the real deal. I think LA's, you add in Cooper Kupp to this offense, they got a solid running back in Kyren Williams. Like, they're good. They're really good. I'd put them right there under the tier of San Fran, Dallas, and Philly. They're a tier two. They're teetering.
They're a sneaky tier two.
Yeah. Matt Stafford is an incredible quarterback, yet he's so hated. Yeah. He's so underrated.
It's because he's got eight kids all with the same mom, so, you know, that's not cool these days. You got to be like Nick Cannon and just have sow your seeds.
Ten baby mamas. Is that Matt Stafford has eight kids?
He's got something like that. Something like five or six kids, yeah.
Oh, okay. I know Philip Rivers has a million, but...
Oh, maybe I'm mixing up the two.
Yeah, maybe.
I could be mixing up the two. That's on me. Anyway, regardless, Matt Stafford. We'll see what he can do. Could also be a linchpin game for LA if they can take down Philly.
Yeah,
that could be, kind of gives them some confidence.
It could be big time. There's a Netflix documentary they do every year now, I guess, with called Quarterbacks, I think it is. And Matt Stafford is signed up to do the season two. So that should be good.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's good.
That'd be cool.
Good docuseries there.
For those of you waking up early or not going to church first thing, got Jacksonville Buffalo UK game in London.
What about paying attention to the game at church? Is that allowed?
Oh, there's gonna be those streaming potentially at church. That's true.
From the pulpit?
The tech row in the back might be. Might be. No. Just kidding.
Maybe.
So if there is any tech issues, I promise you, it wasn't because you're watching
the slide. All right, we're on to the next slide. Come on.
Yeah, this could be a fun game, though.
Yeah.
Could be a fun game.
I think Jacksonville has an upper hand because they've been in London. They're there. They're not coming back and forth. And I know Trevor Lawrence is still something a little off with their offense and with him. But I still think he's a really good quarterback. Like, he still has it. And they have the weapons and... I think they do have an advantage. But Buffalo's on another level right now, too. So, I don't know. Tough game. Probably going to still hang on to Buffalo. But I think it's going to be close.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the travel is going to be a big thing for the NFL. A lot of it is routine. Time zones, depending how early they go out there. Huge change for a lot of teams. So Jacksonville being out there a week already gives them a huge advantage. But I think it's going to be a close one. But you know what? I feel this is the week Trevor Lawrence pulls something out of his hat.
Ooh.
I feel like he pulls it out. That's my hot take for this week.
I like it.
Is Jacksonville takes on Buffalo.
Josh Allen on the Jaguars, the pass rusher. He's going to come through for the Jaguars there. He's
Allen on Allen.
Yeah, it's going to be every time they play each other, Josh Allen on the Jaguars does so well. So he's a great player, actually.
That's funny. I'll take it. The Sunday Nighter, Dallas at San Fran. After dropping to Arizona, how is this going to play out here?
Hey, they bounced back against New England in a nice way this last week, the Cowboys. But the biggest problem for the Cowboys is the red zone issue. And we'll see. Like, this is the first real litmus test, I think, for the Cowboys. So we'll see. We'll see how they do against this tough San Fran defense, and if they can,
Dak can make the reads.
Yeah, that's a great question. If he can actually, you know, keep the, all he has to do is not turn the ball over, and keep doing what he's doing. But they have to learn how to finish their drives. So.
Yeah,
You and I are fighting.
That's a big
fighting
deal.
This Sunday evening, this Thanksgiving, Canadian Thanksgiving. Sunday evening, we have to fight. So
yes, it's okay. I haven't beat you in a long time, so we'll see what happens. How about this? If the Cowboys win, I will wear that hat on the next show.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
And if San Fran wins, you got to wear the San Francisco hat.
Done.
On the next show.
Done.
Okay.
All right, book it.
Heard it here first.
Wow, wow, wow.
Okay.
All right.
Monday Nighter, Green Bay, Las Vegas. I'll give you my quick take on this. If Jimmy G doesn't play, this is a blowout for Green Bay. That's what I think.
Yeah, for sure. If Jimmy G's not playing, Green Bay's taking it. I think Jimmy G's going to play, and I think Jimmy G wins games, especially at home. I think he's at home. And
yep.
Yeah, I think Jimmy G's going to lead. I don't believe in Jordan Love. I don't think the Packers are good. And they've won a couple games that they really shouldn't have. I think they would not win against the Saints if Derek Carr didn't get hurt. I can't remember what happened they were the Thursday nighter last week. They got upended by the Lions, right? So yeah.
Changes occurring in the AFC North. NFC North.
NFC, yeah. I'm down with the Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay, we'll see. We will see. Great. That's good. Some good football talk.
Yeah.
I still think we talked too much about Taylor Swift, but that's all right. That should up the ratings, and the algorithm will be happy about that.
Swifties.
Let's switch gears here. Let's jump into the real talk. We're kind of flipping the format of the show here, but let's get into the real talk. And I think what we've kind of titled this section for this week is it's time to get off the bench and get into the game. You know, talking about Kelce and Taylor Swift,
you can't stop.
This is
you
the
can't
ideal.
Stop talking about them.
I know. it just rolls. It's just so good. But this is what the world has idolized, right? You have two attractive people, rich, wealthy, you know, lose ourselves in the romance or the bromance, depending on which side you take. And, you know, that's the platform that they have. But I think a few weeks ago, we talked about renewing your faith. We talked about, you know, what you can do to get involved. And now we're talking about essentially the Great Commission. Why don't you start us off, you know, giving us a brief rundown of what exactly the Great Commission is and what it means for us as Christians.
Yeah, it's we're called as Christ followers to go and share the good news to all people, and that's our call. And within that call, what that looks like is following the first and second greatest commandment, which is loving God and loving others. And that's what we're called to do, and we're supposed to do that in all that we do. I'll start with that. That's a simplified Great Commission.
Yeah.
And then
I think that's great.
And yeah.
Next question is, how do you do that? How do you love God and love others? What does that look like? Loving others. It's such a, you know, it seems pretty basic, but it seems also kind of hard to do sometimes.
Big time. Like when you look at it, you can look at this from all kinds of aspects. You have to look at the aspect of what is love. You can look at the aspect of what that actually looks like. To me, I think, is it more loving? Let's take an example here. If you and me were going for a run, okay, which we love to do apparently, right? Look at our physique. We're going for a run.
Yeah.
And let's just say you stopped to tie your shoe, and I was running ahead a little bit, and I encountered this big pit, and I just happened to see it, and I ran around the pit. Is it loving for me to you know, let you go and just figure it out yourself? Or is it more loving to tell you about the pit that's coming, that you don't fall in and break your leg? I think it would be more loving if I told you about the pit coming ahead, right? Now, in real life, would I tell you? I don't know. I think it might have been funny to see you fall into a pit. But I think it's being able to have a tough conversation or telling someone that, you know, maybe what you're doing is affecting you in a negative way, that's actually being something more loving, an example of being more loving than allowing someone who's going down a bad path or someone who's struggling with maybe drinking too much, right? If you allow them to continue to do that, I don't think that's actually being loving. Being loving is having that tough conversation, saying, you know, you need to set up some boundaries for yourself so that you don't get yourself in trouble. And so you take that kind of, and then you look at the Christian outlook of love. I was at a wedding on Sunday, and there's this one guy leading the wedding. He sounded like a game show host, and you're going to marry this person, and you're going to marry this person, and we're going to talk about all the kinds of the Greek terms of love, and the Greek term for God's love is agape love, and that's the love the sacrificial love, where we see the example of Jesus. Jesus who died for us because there was a price we had to, there's a price on our lives that we can never pay back. And Jesus died for us so that he could pay that price for us. That's a simplified version of the what loving others looks like. And it's the sacrificial love, being able to share the truth with someone and ultimately share that, you know, there's something so much more in this world than just being a celebrity that gets all the even more big, more attendance and love and fame from a football game, of being in attendance of a football game. There's something so much greater than that. There's this relationship that you can have with a loving Heavenly Father that is the most satisfying, most incredible thing you could ever have. And as it's a relationship, it's a two-way relationship, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah, so I think, thanks for that. I think what we want to pull from that is the sharing part, right? You just saw, like, you know, sure, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce have this major platform because they are celebrities and star athletes. You know, we have built a platform kind of nowhere with this show. You and Drew have a platform on Sundays talking about God and preaching. Athletes have a platform to give glory to God if they choose to on sideline reports or after game media scrums and interviews, right? So do you think you need such a major platform to share about God? Is that key, or is the platform just you being a Christ follower?
Yeah, I think definitely it's the latter of your statement. It is you embodying what being a Christ follower is. Like, you know, you are where you are for a purpose and plan, you know. Your job, your family, your friends, your circle that you're in, you're there and you have purpose in that. And I think as people that are Christ followers, we're called to lead in that way. If that platform that you have, if that the way you lead is through your, if it is sports, that's a great area where you can lead through. And for you, maybe it's coaching and things like that, where you can add in the sports element. But it doesn't have to be sports. It doesn't have to be a massive following. It doesn't have to be any of that. It doesn't have to be fame. It can be one person. It can be intimate, just your family. But what you do with it, what you are, who you are, is your identity is of Christ. That's where we want to challenge everyone. We want to encourage everyone to say, you know, you have this great identity and this amazing, you were created in His image. That's how great you are. And you can use that to share with many people who don't know about this hope and this heavenly hope or this heavenly love that they need to hear about.
And that, I think that ties into how we're talking about is getting off the bench, is you have to be intentional about it.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of people, let's say a lot of Christians, sorry, love God. God's done a lot of great things in their lives. And they want to talk about it and share it, but they're so afraid to, right? You know, when you meet new people, you go to a dinner party, you don't talk about politics, you don't talk about religion. Those are things that are off the table, right? And I think coming from a non-pastor point of view, people are often afraid to talk about Jesus or talk about what God's doing in their life because, number one, they don't want to offend anybody, right? Number two, some people don't think that what's happened in their life is important or amazing. They don't have some great 180 degree story where Jesus turned their life around. I think we talked about this. I'm not sure if we talked about it in the pod or if we talked about it in person, but like, it's good that you don't have a 180 degree story. sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? That's not necessarily, that's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And another piece is we also don't know how to talk about. Right? Like, you don't have to be the next Billy Graham. You don't have to be a great orator and have this well-defined speech about what Jesus has done in your life. I think one point you really highlighted was relationship. And yes, we need to have a relationship with God, and it's a two-way street. But I think having a relationship with people in your circle opens all sorts of doors for your platform to share about Christ. And it's about being open to God to say, hey, use me, and taking a step of faith to say, I'm going to open my mouth in this situation and say something. Do you have any suggestions or advice for people to be more bold and have more courage when sharing their faith?
Maybe I'll share an experience. How about that? Some people may not know, like after high school, first couple years after high school, I was in a really bad place. I was in a place of partying and drinking too much. And even a lot of my friends wouldn't even know that after I was done hanging out with them and partying with them, I'd go home and just be drinking by myself. And I was down a depressed path. I was down a bad path. I was lost and I was trying to fight lots of different things. And the best thing that's ever happened to me was my best friend Fitz, Jared Fitzpatrick. I call him Fitz. Throughout those high school years and those first 2 years of after high school, that's where I was totally burned him. I totally disrespected our friendship. He was my best friend from grade 1 to grade 12, and I disrespected him. I ditched him for parties. I wanted to do my own thing. It was like 2 years after high school, he just reached out to me, and I think he probably had a good idea that I was pretty down a deep dark path, and he reached out to me, and what he did was, he didn't preach at me, he didn't throw the Bible at me. What he did was still be a loving friend who knew that even though I burned him, even though I was bad to him, and used him for stuff, he still put that all aside and said, you know what, you're my best bro. I want to be there for you. I want to walk with you. And that example of who he was and what he was doing, his loving example is the one that really touched me and knew and made me say, you know, I got to get my life right. I got to go back to my relationship with God, and I got to stop putting it on the back burner. Got to make it the most important thing in my life. So that's one way of being intentional, is really living out your faith by living a life of being loving. Even when some people that don't deserve it, maybe there's someone you can probably think of in your life that doesn't deserve that forgiveness or that love, but yet you still, maybe God's put them on your heart. You go in and you be there for them. Yes. Yeah. You hug them and you walk with them. Where I'm at today is in with this, a large, culture change, you know, I'm also reminded of looking at look at Jesus and the disciples and Paul and how all the way they ministered the gospel. They also, when they shared with people and met with people, they were also very strong in what they said and strong in what they believed. Yeah. They didn't shy away from that. So where I am at today is trying to find a balance of both. You can definitely try to be relational with people, definitely try to walk with them and build friendships and let your life represent the Bible to them. But I'm also now at the spot where, you know what, you can pray and ask God to, you know, give you words to speak into someone's life. You can be such an encourager to them, and you can actually lift them up through different Bible verses that God's put on your heart to give to them. And that can be, so being more intentional, even when you speak into their lives, that's kind of been what's on my heart these last few years. And I think that's also been partly because of the culture change that we've gone through, how things are so polarizing in our world, all these issues that we used to think weren't polarizing, from sexuality to gender to race and all these things. Over the last 10, 15 years, there's been a change. So that's why I think there's also a level where we have to be a little more vocal and a little more. I still think you can still be encouraging and you can always be relational.
Yeah, it's not about pointing fingers.
Right.
Right. It's about having that, taking advantage of the opportunity that comes your way and being intentional about it. I'm sure Fitz didn't, you know, like you said, he didn't hold you down and point a finger and say, you're doing XXX, you're going to hell, whatever. He reached out in love. It was probably a tough conversation, but those are, you don't know what your platform is until you go out there and start being present in people's lives.
Yeah, you also don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be have attended church for 10 years either. You honestly, it's like the more and more I've been in ministry, it's like you rely less and less on your ability, rely less and less on your even strengths. You say, Lord, how can you use me today? And what do you want me to do? Okay, you want me to share this? And when you're having those conversations, I'm telling you, you're going to be sent like a missile, a Bible verse missile that's popped into your brain that you probably didn't even remember that you knew. And you get to share that with someone. And that's God working in you. That's a spirit working through you. And that's something very real. And that's something, if we really want to see lives change, we have to be living spirit-led lives. That's the real talk truth of what's going to see change happen.
Absolutely. So we talked about, hey, it's renewing season round, you know, it's the start of a lot of different things. Trying to restart your relationship with God, getting involved in your prayer life and your routines. Now it's time to get off the bench and just ask God, honestly, what's an opportunity? And just be open and trust in him and he'll give you the right answer. So I think some great stories there you shared with us, and some good talking points for sure. If athletes can get praised for saying, thank you, Jesus, after scoring a touchdown, you can share the same thing when you get a sweet parking spot at the grocery store, or if you get a promotion, or if something also negative happens. Trust in God, he'll take care of you, and he'll give you opportunity if you're looking for it. And sometimes when you're not even looking for it. So you don't have to be YouTube stars like us to share your love, the love of God. Take that step and just run with it. Fair?
Let's go.
Awesome. Cool. I think we can take care of a little more business.
Yep.
And then we'll quickly talk some basketball. Sure. www.traintoinvest.com. That is a company that I work with and for, I guess, that is looking to help you change your life, really, from a financial perspective, not a God perspective. We tie God in there, but we're looking to help you realize your financial future and what you want to do, and give you the toolkit to be successful. When it comes to retirement and when it comes to planning for the future, we like to give that control to somebody else. But remember this, no one will take care of your money like you will. Trained to Invest offers a course. They'll teach you how to generate a steady rate of return so that you can meet all sorts of goals for your life. Check us out at www.train2invest.com. Look for the ebook. Give it a read and give us a contact, and we'll love to reach out to you guys. And we've helped people change a lot of their lives, plan for weddings, plan for retirement, put their kids through school, and really protect the wealth that their family's already built. So if you're looking to find your next stream of income, if you're looking to change the way you approach money, and if you're looking, you know, for a way to support ministries and things that you want to do, check us out, www.train2invest.com. All right, let's talk a little bit of basketball here before we wind down for today. There are two main storylines heading into the offseason. Dame wanted to trade to Miami. James Harden wanted to trade to the Clippers, basically. So far, none of those things have happened. But Dame did get traded. You want me? I'll run down quickly who got what and how this all worked out. So Dame went to the Bucks. The Trailblazers received DeAndre Ayton, Timani Kamara, Drew Holiday, a 2029 first round pick, two first round pick swaps with the Bucks in 2028 and 2030. The Suns received Grayson Allen, Keon Clark, Nasir Little, Yusuf Nurkic. Then Cronin flipped Drew Holiday for Malcolm Brogdon, Robert Williams, 2024 pick from the Warriors, top four protected, a 2029 unprotected first round pick, and we'll see if they even keep Malcolm Brogdon. Did anybody see this coming? No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Joe Cronin, Portland Trailblazers GM, under the gun, under the pressure. Dame saying he wants to Miami. Everyone from Miami media saying they need to trade him to Miami and gotta do it now. But he pulled off the heist of the year. He got Drew Holiday over Tyler Hero. He got then flipped Drew Holiday, like you said. And the worst part of it all, as a Raptors fan, was I got the alert on the phone saying, thanks, Shams Charania. If I see you, man, we're going to have some issues because you sent out an alert saying Damian Lillard traded to the Toronto Raptors. And not longer than 60 seconds later, Damian Lillard traded to the Bucks.
It's, I think, and there's even a story going around that Dame said, hey, can I pull back my trade request?
Right.
And Cronin was like, no, thank you. And I think, obviously, this trade is about 2 years too late. But they got a sneaky good young team there. Right?
And future assets.
And future assets.
Got rid of the Nurkic contract.
Robert Williams. Yeah. Robert Williams and Ayton. That's going to be an interesting lineup because I think Williams obviously provides really strong D and is a little more consistent. Ayton, there's questions about his motor. There's questions about how hard he's trying. I think you're going to get a really big push from DeAndre Ayton to show, he's not Luka and he's not Trey. We get that. We understand that. I mean, that's different. But he's going to be able to give you 20-10 every single night. I think having Williams there to even push him, they may play together at some points. You get a really good pick and roll partner for Scoot and the rest of the wings there.
They're
could they go for the play-in?
I still think they're going to be bad this year, but they'll be exciting. They'll be exciting, and they finally have a future ahead of them. They're gonna. I bet you they trade Jeremy Grant at the trade deadline because I don't think he's available to trade till the 15th. So that's more picks or more young talent coming in because he's going to be a
Brogdon and Grant are gone.
Yeah, 100% those guys. So Portland's set up. Yeah. They're set up so well. And the Miami Heat are still saying they made a bad deal because they think Tyler Hero is the next great thing. But yet they don't
want
him.
The next big thing. So. You know, this is an interesting take that I heard is these guys have made their stake, their claim on where they want to go, but yet a deal was still done where Dame is happy. I think, and I agree with this, is power is shifting back to the GMs, right? Because the Kawhi situation was completely different because he was on his last year of the contract.
Yeah.
Right. Dame still has 4 years left.
True.
You know, James Harden, he opted in for whatever reason, and he's in a different situation because they can't even be extended. Drew Holiday, the Celtics can even extend further. So you can see, some of this is shifting back. It's not just, hey, I'm going to sign a massive contract, play a year, and then go away.
Totally right. James Harden hasn't gone to the Clippers yet. I don't think that's going to happen. Kyrie Irving didn't want to go to the Mavs, and that's where they sent him for the right deal. Then you look at Dame, and you're totally right. Yeah. Bang on with that.
And I know the Celtics are going to be short on depth. They may have to try and trade some things, and being in that first apron of tax bracket, I think it limits their ability to sign free agents to the minimum deals. So they're going to have to be creative. But if you're a Philly, you got to be like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Because the Bucks are strong. Celtics are strong. Philly's, I guess, top four right now, kind of, if James Harden comes out and play. Cleveland's up there. Toronto will hang around, but isn't strong. Chicago's not strong. The Heat, Heat will be okay.
The Heat will still be
Charlotte
there.
Charlotte and Washington are going to suck. All right? Like, the East is really top heavy.
Yeah.
The Bulls will be out of it. Like, the Pacers are still young. They want to trade away Buddy Hield, who, if you look at Buddy Hield's stats, he's like the second best three-pointer behind Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Like, the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
Which is absolutely – because he played in Sacramento for so long, no one really even heard about him. He goes to Indiana, again, not another major market. So, like, somebody could flip for him really quick and,
I think
make some noise.
Teams like the Lakers, the Heat, even the Nuggets, it's an arms race at this point. You got to add some stuff if they want to, win.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it really puts teams under pressure with the new luxury tax rules.
Yeah, for sure. I wish I could go into know all the details of the tiers of the luxury tax and all that stuff too.
That's a lot of work.
That's too much.
You need a whole degree in agentology to figure that out.
Yeah, 100%. So who do you got? The Celtics being better or the Bucks being better?
I think I'm gonna go with the Bucks, just because of the more continuity. If Chris Middleton comes back, healthy, Middleton,
that's a big Giannis, if.
Dame, and Lopez, Bobby Portis has really grown a lot, right? Yes, they lost Grayson Allen, and he was a decent defender and a decent three-point shooter. Pat Connaughton should flip into that.
Yeah, Pat Connaughton's there.
Right.
They got some players. But Drew Holiday.
I know. Drew Holiday, Tatum, Brown.
Porzingis.
But Porzingis is also hurt a lot.
Porzingis, he played quite a few games last year. He looked pretty good. Yeah. I think Porzingis is deadly.
They're going to miss Williams' presence, though. Al Horford over Williams.
He misses so many games. Al Horford's old, bro. Right,
but that was just last year, not the year before.
I think both years Robert Williams has been always injured, and
maybe,
and he only gives they need you somebody 18 minutes a game. Like, Porzingis is like a shot blocker, can stretch the floor.
You need a big body to absorb some of the blows.
From who?
I don't think Al Horford's that guy.
Embiid, that's the only guy that has a post player nowadays in the East. I guess kind of Giannis, yeah, right, but
kind of like. But you still, regardless of even this post play, you need somebody in the middle.
I think Porzingis is that guy. He's so long.
I don't know. I think he's still soft a little bit, but we'll see. Yeah. Because right now he's getting surgery for his foot.
Yeah.
Right. So, I
hate the Celtics. I just think they're the best team. Because I don't believe in Middleton anymore. But if you're right, if Middleton becomes what he was, then
yeah.
But I don't think
I think he's got a new contract now. He'll be healthier. A really short playoff run. Lots of time to get healthy. I also don't know if you can trust Jaylen Brown.
True. Well, the $300 million man. Yeah.
I think they had to make that. They had to make that signing.
Yeah.
I would have traded him away.
You might be convincing me pretty quickly here. I also hate this.
So we'll see. Oh, man. Yeah, I know you're very deep. Boston, anti-Boston.
That's the thing is, I hate the Celtics, but I really don't hate their roster. Like, I really like their players. Like,
yeah,
it's a really weird.
If it was Washington, and the same roster, you'd be stoked.
I would love them.
You'd be all about it.
Yeah,
yeah. What I think is going to happen, though, is the West is going to beat up on each other, and either somebody in the East is going to cruise through. Kind of like 2 years ago, when the Heat just kind of in the bubble, Heat just kind of came out of nowhere. I feel like that's where you're going to see that. But who knows? There's still some moves we made out there to shuffle the deck.
What I think
And
the one team should do to put them in that arms race is Golden State Warriors trade Chris Paul to the Sixers for Harden. And I think Harden fits that system better than Chris Paul.
Whoa. That
And Embiid fits better
but if you're a
with
Philly,
Chris Paul
yeah. But if you're
than
a Philly,
Harden.
do you really want an old Chris Paul
But
for a year?
Harden's not going to play. He's not going to play for them.
You gotta find a reason to keep Embiid. Because if I'm Joel and I see Chris Paul coming back, I'm like, do I really want to stick around here? Right, and they may lose Embiid.
Would Miami take on Harden for Kyle Lowry and Tyler Hero?
No, he doesn't fit the culture.
The Heat culture
They
changes the temptation of Heat culture, but the Heat culture is going to put him back in shape and keep him
maybe.
in line. Pat
I just,
Riley's he's got his goons everywhere
yeah,
watching where he's going to
that's
be.
true. But
Maybe.
James loves the strip clubs.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
The Pat
Miami
Riley,
is pretty much,
it's too much of a temptation, you're saying.
yeah, I think, yeah. Like if you look at it, he was pretty much primed to go back to Houston. But Udoka said, no, thank you.
Yeah, no one
And
wants
signed
him.
Fred instead. Yeah.
I
He's
get
damaged his brand.
I get it, but he
He's the
also,
next Carmelo Anthony.
but like he did average like 22 and 11 last year. Like he did put
But
up
his
two
playoff
40 point
stats suck.
games. He put 42 40 point games up in that playoff series against the Celtics. Like
I
Embiid's
know,
supposed to be
but
the MVP and he's a shadow.
I don't know. That team, like, even has Tobias Harris, overrated. Like,
I like
maybe if you're
Tyrese
Philly, yeah, he's a good piece. If you're Philly, maybe you try and blow up the Harden and what's his name? I just said his name. Jeez. Oh my, Tobias, flip those two and try something new.
Who's gonna take
Try
that
something
on,
new.
though, right? Who's gonna take it on?
Don't
Too
know.
much money.
I don't know. Yeah, we split them up. Different trades.
Spin them up, yeah. All right, Coach,
Anyways,
wrap us up.
great chatting today. I think we had a really strong real talk. Make sure you guys just ask for opportunity. Like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or the new X, and YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, share the video. Let's get those views up and get the algorithm going. We mentioned Taylor Swift enough to land on some Swifties video page. Just don't put the thumbnail as Taylor Swift. That would be terrible. I don't know if we could do that. But yeah, check us on our socials. Let us know. Is any Who wants James Harden? Who wants James Harden? Let us know, if anybody. And we'll go from there. I look forward to seeing a 49ers cap on your head next time we pod. And go for there. Peace.
Peace out, world.